shit. Oh, shit. Guess who showed up? We didn't get your burrito, bro. But we'll get you one right now if you want. Yeah, man. Rodrigo, he does elevator work over here.
I like the dickies, man. The overall. That's what I go to audition with.
Call me Schneider, though.
Gotta wear the dickies.
Hell yeah. What's happening, man? How you guys doing?
That's Schneider from One Day at a Time.
Oh, I said One Day at a Time. Is it One Day at a Time?
I guess, first of all, what's up, fool? We're at the live from the Grand Central Market, man. With Rodrigo Torres, our guest, Mariano Mendoza, MMA fighter, K1 fighter, street brawler, the king of the cheap shots. This guy's a man, the myth, the legend. This guy, when you're walking on the street, man, you're either going to recognize him on TV or ass beating.
We're from the...
Oh, you trying to get into the club with fucking Docker pants? So we're here with Mariano. Did you ever come here to the Grand Central Market as a kid?
Yes, I have. I just remember going to get tacos. It was a lot more people, especially on the weekends, really crazy. But it's changed a lot. It's all. It's kind of like you said, kind of hippie style, commercialized. It's.
It's nice and clean now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, it wasn't like that before.
Yeah, before they had security guards here, like Gestapo. Like as soon as you can put it a little bit closer.
Okay.
Don't be shy, man. It's just a microphone. And before they would have Gestapo over here, like security guards kicking people out. Like as soon as you look, like you're about to take a nap, get up, man, get up.
Rifles with bayonets on them, all poking your ass.
You start yawning in here. What are you doing? Start sleeping here. Are you loitering? Mm-hmm.
No, that's what that brother's doing.
See, well, I used to come here, Mariano, when I was a kid. My father used to go around the corner and buy, you could still buy it, man, a dozen shrimp for $5.99 with fries and a flat Pepsi.
No fizz, dog.
And right next door, man, somebody tricked me one time, and they had a tranny show, bro. And some they were like transvestites singing like Spanish music. Like
I got tripped by hairy leg.
For real, man, Angelica Maria was throwing the move at me.
This fool. Angelica Maria.
Yeah, my dad used to come over here, man. Right here, the first place I ever seen where the toilet paper was chained to a lock.
Mexico style, dog.
For real, man, it was chained to a lock. And I remember peeing. They have a thing where everybody pees at the same time. And man, I saw a guy peeing. I got like, dog, like orange Fanta, dog. And I thought this guy must be on heroin or something, man. It was orange, bro. Like, man, this guy's peeing. Diabetes.
It was the Fanta man, dog.
He's detoxing.
Right? This fool pissed out a Tom Petty shirt, dog.
So, I know you're wondering, how do we meet Mariano Mendoza? Was he hanging out with two overweight, out of shape guys? Well, he's a trainer now.
He's going to start training us, dog.
I was doing the Target Mobile commercial, and he came in. And at first, I didn't know who he was or what part he had in the show. And then I said, wow, he's my stand-in? Orale. Finally, a stand-in that has the same shape as me. And we worked all day, huh?
Yeah, all day, man.
We put a 12-hour shift for three commercials.
They worked us like slaves.
They put a wig on you for the stand-in?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like...
So all from the back and side shots, or what were they? That's fun.
Yeah,
dog.
Yeah, from far away and then close up, and they put the wig and they put everything else. It was kind of... I've never done anything, you know, that, like, transvestite. I don't know, like woman, trying to be a woman. I'm like, hey, this is not my cup of tea, man.
I tried to be a woman, dog.
You tried, dog.
Like, I know, but when he saw me came in with makeup, I go, all right, he found somebody else, eh?
This is getting weird, homie.
I know, bro. It's getting weird. They, the only Chicanos in the whole scene were the ones with just the wigs.
I'm about to start throwing blows, dog.
I know, man. You know, like, you know, I don't know if you know Emilio Rivera.
What's going on, homie?
I do know, man. We go. Actually, I've known him about 5 years. He is my mentor. He actually was the only Latino in Hollywood that actually said, hey, bro, I'm going to hook you up with some work.
Hell yeah.
And he came through. Not like 80% of the Latinos, yeah, not to mention, I'll mention them, Danny Trejo. Oh, yeah, bro, you're going to be my sidekick and my muscle and this and that.
muscle, dog.
I'm like, you know what, bro? I got a part because I got it because I auditioned for it. Strike One. That was a movie. And I played Junior. Thug Junior number one. Thug number two.
You know, when I first met Emilio Rivera, we were at his house, me and Gabriel Iglesias, and he showed us his tape. His acting reel, and it was all violent, bro. Like him fucking fools up, right?
And then
one of the scenes, he was getting beat up by Chuck Norris, right? And we were laughing, and Emilio said, "Hey, man, you know we're gonna fight like that, right?" And I said, "Oh yeah, we know, bro." And then they go to the last scene of Santa Barbara, and it ends with him shooting a girl, bro. And I said, "Damn, man, this acting reel is not for Disney."
Putting in work.
Yeah, he put in work, man. So then I meet you at the thing, man. And I said, at first, I was trying to picture you everywhere, bro. Where have you seen Mariano Mendoza at? Because at first, I thought you were that Mexican heavyweight boxer from San Fernando.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about.
He was a champion, right, for a while?
Yeah, yeah. He was kind of big, a little overweight.
Yeah, he was in that movie, Digstown.
Oh, okay. I think.
Yeah, so I thought that was him. I thought that was you, but then I looked up his age. I said, "Nah, man, it can't be him. That guy's like 80.
But it looks that good. Dog.
He's like Paul Rodriguez. Hey, man, what's somebody? There's no heavyweights. There ain't that many Mexican heavyweights in boxing because once a Mexican turns 250, he wants to be a mariachi." That was Paul Rodriguez.
That's funny.
Now, so, yeah, man. So getting back, I saw you, and then I remember now that you were in Eastbound and Out, bro. You had a big role. Would you say it was like one of your biggest roles?
That was my, what's called the breakout role. You know, 9 years in the business, I got reoccurring. I was one of the characters on there on The Sesh. It was a talk show called The Sesh. It was kind of like ESPN with Saturday Night Live.
It was like the best damn sports show.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
With Kenny Powers, though.
With Kenny Powers. Kenny cutting in. Powers. What was it like working with them, Jody Hill and them?
Jody was so cool. And he said, "You know what? I did this audition 3 months ago. You know, somebody got the job, someone else." 3 months later, Nancy calls me as my agent, one of my agents. I got three agents, two managers. And she goes, "Hey, Mariano, you booked this movie, this TV show, Eastbound and Down." I go, "What?" And two days, I was flying to North Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina. And there I'm working with, Danny McBride. And I didn't know about the show. It was a washed-up baseball player or something like that. And I was Rodney the Hammer Garcia. That was me. I was a retired world champion boxer. And it's funny because they were looking for a Mexican that fits a part that actually was a former fighter. I was a former MMA fighter. And I was like, "Well, I'm your man right here, bro.
The hammer's here."
The hammer's here. Rodney the Hammer Garcia.
We got the Rodney the Martillo over here.
Don Chingazos right here, dog.
So they gave it to you, and man, because you were like, you were pretty good in that show. You lasted to the end, huh?
Yeah. Me and Michael were the last ones to get killed off, and it was because I'm kind of was the muscle, and he was like the muscle too. And basically, we kept everybody in check, and so we both get fired together. And it's funny, Danny McBride goes out there and he hires two bigger guys than us. So he fires us and he replaces us with these other guys that are bigger. "You're fired. What? I'm going to kick your ass, man."
That's cool. Late.
Exactly. So we got killed off, 8 episodes in the whole season. So I was blessed. 3 months we filmed on and off.
No, 8 episodes, man. That means you got dental for at least 2 years.
I'm still missing a couple.
So how would you start off by, like, were you born? You're from Paramount. You said you were from Paramount, or were you from different places?
Bro, I was the guy that I was everywhere.
Everywhere?
I lived everywhere. When they say, "Where are you from?" I go, "You know what, bro? I'm from everywhere, bro."
A lot of listeners might not understand that. They might think you were raised in the military. They say you might be a military brat. Nah, just a brat.
Just the you know what? That's funny because I'm a military. I was in the military, but I grew up. I was in foster homes and boys' homes for 9 years of my life. So I was in Compton, Carson, Paramount.
So how old were you when that happened?
I was 8 years old. So, it was a crazy experience. I'll never forget. I got picked up by these cops after school. Hey, what's going on? And the next thing I know, I'm in this McLaren Hall. They don't have it anymore. It's like a juvenile hall, but it's McLaren Hall for foster kids that don't have a foster home. So that's why I said when I grew around, I grew up everywhere. Norwalk. I went to John Glenn High School in Norwalk. I went to Banning High School in Wilmington. And I went to Long Beach, Wilson, and Long Beach. So I was in three different places.
So when a cop picked you up at 8 years old, your parents were gone or something happened?
Yeah. My stepfather was an idiot. He's basically used me like a piñata. Beat the shit out of me. Bum, bum, you know, he disciplined me, what you call Mexican style.
Yeah. You know, a chingazos?
A chingazos.
No ponga las manos, cabrón.
Las metas, güey.
Con el palo, con extension cord, con the fork, whatever.
I've been in the octagon for a long time, bro.
That's how I got into fighting. It's funny you say that. I was a nerd in school. I was a real nerd, quiet, and I was a track runner, and I was pretty good.
You were a track runner when you were a little kid?
I was in high school. I got a scholarship. I was that good. Damn. But I was the fastest Mexican in the school. But, you know, we had a bunch of brothers there. So, you know, when you have brothers in the track team, forget it. You know they're going to be, you know, world record holders. Champions.
Right there, went to high school with Carl Lewis.
Oh, what?
No, I'm just saying, dog. Oh, manches.
Yeah, I ran the 400, the 330 hurdles, the 110 hurdles. I actually have two school records. I ran the 400 in like a 48.9, and that was pretty fast for Mexican.
Damn.
Yeah, that's one lap.
Were those brothers going, damn, that's a fast Mexican.
Well, I was
Speedy Gonzalez.
I'll be honest, I was towards the end of the race. So there's the fast Mexican. I didn't make the top four. Let's just say that. I'll be honest.
They still had time to tie their shoes.
Exactly, man. So
it was like, okay, man, at the start of the race. Okay, man, race over.
Feels like a dart.
So you're running track for Wilson High School?
I ran track for Banning High School.
Banning,
Long Beach Wilson and John Glenn.
Banning rival with Carson, huh?
Yes.
That's a big football game. That game, by the way, people, if you ever heard of
Carson?
Carson and Banning High School, their football games are always so big, they moved them to East LA College.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We had the best football team during that time. Jerome Holloway was our quarterback. I guess he played for Oklahoma back after school. We had the first coach that was a professional, ex-professional football player, Vince Ferragamo.
Oh, yeah, Vince Ferragamo. He played for the Rams.
Yes. I was like, I played football only because when you were running track, you play football. But I was third string or fourth string.
Fullback?
Fullback, running back. So, yeah, I was.
Rodrigo was on Full Nelson, bro.
Asleep right there in the corner.
That's funny, man.
He didn't even know he got robbed. That's how hard I sleep.
So you jumped around in different foster homes. How did you end up in Banning, of all places?
I was in a foster home on Banning. There was like 8 foster kids, and my foster parents were black. So I was there was only 2 Latinos in the whole foster home. We had 8 foster brothers and sisters. So, you know, it kind of made you tough. Plus, I already grew up tough as a kid. And I was there for a couple years. Like I said, I moved around so much. I don't even remember. I have ADHD, and on top of that, trying to remember where I lived at, what I did. And I was like, this is too much. So I joined the military right after high school.
Yeah, Navy?
Navy. Right after high school, literally. The next day, in the morning, I was going to boot camp. No BS. I was going to boot camp in San Diego.
I'm out. And
it's like Richard Pryor's joke, man. The cops showed up to my house. You're going to the army, you're going to jail.
You know what? Back then, it was a lot tougher. Not to brag, but I was in the Army and the Navy, so I did both boot camps.
Damn.
The Army is harder. The Navy is kind of wussy physically. Of course, the hardest one is the Marine Corps. They do 4 months of boot camp. All the other branches do 3 months of boot camp. So I was gone home, man. I was Mr. Terminator. Oh, I pushed up. I was a platoon leader. I was an ROTC. I was one of them ROTC nerds that wore my uniform every weekend
in high school.
And I'm a fucking psycho. He's going to come back and shoot the scoop.
It was you and a bunch of paisas. I don't know why every high school I've been to, all the paisas join ROTC and they make it look like federales. You could bribe them in the hallway.
Yeah, they made fun of us. Oh, look at that.
Do you guys get to shoot guns at your ROTC?
Yeah.
Because I know in Colorado, man, they do shoot guns.
BB guns.
Oh, BB guns.
Yeah, they don't want to, you know, somebody get shot. They offered us a 22, but you have to go to training and all that, you know, liability stuff. So we had shot BB guns with the little toy things, and it was an experience.
You guys killed sparrows.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, we did a mini boot camp for like a week. We went out to what's that? That big park over here in Pasadena. Some big park over there in river and lake, and you know, kind of like Boy Scouts, like the Boy Scout type thing. But there was Army ROTC. So it was just awesome, man, to experience all this. And like I said, not to brag, I'm probably the only Mexican Latino in Hollywood that actually has all these athletic accomplishments. World records. I have a world record strict curl at 220.
Curl at 220?
Strict curl, 220 pounds. No side to side, no shoulder movement, no up and down, no cheating curl. It was a strict curl. Muscle be strong, man. I won that 2 years in a row. I mean, I was competing with the Samoans. So, you know, if I'm out there competing with these guys, gosh, these guys are... They don't even work out. They just look at them.
They're just
muscles
big.
Muscles everywhere.
Yeah.
Big
they do
boys,
one push-up. That's it.
Because if they don't kill you with their bare hands, they'll fucking rip a tree out of the ground and beat your ass with it.
No, don't mess around with the sisters. What was that? One of the girls liked me, and I was like, oh, shit. Her name was Lufa or Mufa. They have a funny name, but she was like
her name
months.
Was Sofa.
Something like that, yeah.
You just sit on her, dog. That's it. Don't hop on that.
Don't piss her off. So
you're competing all over.
You were
competing strongman all over the world, like the strongman contest, right? With picking up tires or bodybuilding.
I did the miniature strongman. I'm not gonna lie.
tires, dog.
We're picking up. We're picking up UPS trucks.
The little dumbbells, the shot put. We did the bench press, the strict curl. We had a sled run. I had 200 pounds. You're running with it. Called the farmer's walk. You have 100-pound dumbbells on each side, and you walk as far as you can without dropping them. So I did basically about almost 2 laps, like equivalent to a track. So it was crazy. I mean, that was the biggest trophy I got. Six foot trophy. And it was an experience. It's called the Iron Man Strongman. So it wasn't a real Iron Man. So it was a wannabe one. So.
When did you start competing for this? In the Army? In the military?
You know what? After the military. I started late. I was, you know, I got into the bodybuilding thing. I started hitting the roids, you know.
Steroids?
Yeah, oh yeah, man. I was a king in L.A., not to brag. I was one of the biggest dealers.
You were the biggest steroid dealer?
One of the biggest ones. I can't say the names, but I sold to a lot of famous people.
A lot of famous boxers?
Boxers, yes.
Do boxers take steroids before the fight? Or after, or during, while training?
Before the fight, after the fight. The thing is, they take it more for power and for, because you got different steroids. You got some for endurance, some for size, some for strength, for looks.
The shit's like weed then, different strains for different things.
Yes, exactly, bro.
Damn, I didn't know it was like that. I thought it was just one steroid.
No,
I know comedians that were taking steroids to be funnier.
What happened, dog?
What happened, man?
What do they say? A steroid enhances everything. You know, when they say, oh, man, this is like naturally steroidal or
steroidal.
You're over the top. It's like...
cutting edge.
Exactly, cutting edge. And then so I found out about the baseball players and Joe Canseco and of course, you know, fighters, actors. A lot of actors are on GH right now, Sylvester Stallone.
You were saying you're the king of L.A. real quick, when you got a reputation, people started coming to you going, hey, dog, where's that good shit at? So yeah. Good shit, Sledgehammer.
So somebody played you in the movie The Wrestler.
All big right there, hooking up Mickey
that,
Rook,
man. Because that guy that came out,
I got Anavar, I got testosterone, I got
see, he has
uppers and downers, I got painkillers, and that was all the shit. You know, you got the painkillers, you got the pills with the steroids. So that was the winning combination right there.
Damn, you were a pharmacist then.
Kind of. You know, I had to know what I'm selling. Hey, man.
But you're known as far as steroids go, like a legit guy that you're not going to die from this stuff. So that way it makes it more expensive. Because they know, like, if I was buying steroids from Rodrigo, man, I'd be like, come on, man.
You really, take these bro? After you eat, dog.
Bro, what do these do? Do they make my depression stronger or what? What do they do? But from you, bro.
It enhances it, dude.
Because like, if I was buying steroids for the first time and I look at you, bro, am I going to get as buff as you? Would you be honestly and say, bro, have you ever worked out? No, then you're never going to get like this.
You got it right on the nail, brother. A lot of guys think, oh, I can take steroids. I don't need to work out. I'm just going to sleep, and I'm going to build muscle on muscle, and I'm just going to dream about building muscle, and that's it. No, you got to bust your ass. You got to train even harder.
Harder, right? People think that taking steroids is just cheating. Now you still got to work hard, man.
Oh, yeah. There's, you know, I always tell people there's no such thing as a free lunch or a handout. Closer. You know, a handout, a free lunch, you know. You got to pay your dues. But still, I'll be honest, it is cheating. You know what I mean? When you're a professional athlete and you're competing, but there's so many guys that are doing the same shit, man. The Olympic guys, now they got doping. Now they got GH is undetectable. It burns fat, but it's hard to test because it's like $5,000 for the test. Yeah. I mean, I know a lot about it. That's why I got out of it. And I go out there and talk to the kids. I go, don't take that shit. It messes you up later. Yeah, you're going to look great. Later on, you know, everything starts shrinking. You start getting memory loss. You start sagging. You get all these out of your liver, your kidney. All that stuff can really get jacked up. Look at Arnold now. He looked like Mr. Olympia 8 times. Now he looks like some homeless guy.
Now he looks like Mr. Olympic and Soto.
Está todo descompuesto.
So, besides, when you're like dealing all these steroids, it's always the coach or the doctor getting them, or the person or the guy, or those Mark McGuire show up to you in a project to go, hey man, I'm trying to get 5 home runs against the Dodgers, hook me up, or hey man, tomorrow man, I gotta fight backyard wrestling
right there next to the satellite,
or the Hulk Hogan walk up, let me tell you, brother. I got a fight right now with my wife and
the Hulkster needs a hammer.
they go through what you
Is
call...
Is it illegal to do what you do or legal?
Oh, where's the cops?
Used to.
No,
a long time ago when, so I, was, only when a, I was hustling.
Only a doctor can do what you do, or a personal trainer.
And even then, steroids are a Schedule 2 drug now, so it's up there with...
Huh?
Huh?
No, we're recording for our college project. Yeah, we asked another guy earlier. We said, yeah.
We're just doing this for ourselves.
This lady with the long hair?
No, long hair.
This is for our personal stuff. It's not.
Imagine having a conversation, but no things on our heads and no microphones. Kind of the same, huh?
Yeah, okay, we'll turn it off. We're going to wrap it up. No, this is us.
No, these are my.
I'm sorry.
Interviewing? No.
Oh, yeah. It's all good. No, it's just us. Yeah, we ain't no interviews, no nothing. No, it's all good. Yeah, we're all like this. Oh, I don't even say. You're one of those Mexicans that doesn't like black people, hot dogs.
That lady showed up, man. Don't be interviewing no steroids here. We know we got steroids in that pork.
Man, my cousin committed suicide because of steroids. And you the steroid man.
I don't want this interview to be all about that. You know.
Oh, no, no. I feel it's a little smidge, you know what I mean? It's a smudge.
Oh, man, I was like,
this is part of
I see a badge, man. I don't even know how to answer her, man. Yeah, man, we're doing a college project here about the bad use of steroids. And
I see a badge, but I always look. Does it say security guard?
You know, we saw a movie, man. A movie is called Super Super Size Me or
the McDonald's one?
No, the other one.
Oh, Bigger, Stronger, Faster.
Bigger, Stronger, Faster.
That's my friend.
Yeah, the film writer's your friend?
My friend, yeah. He produced it, directed it, and it's funny because he worked at Gold's Gym as a manager, and he actually was going to ask me some stuff about the fighters. Do the fighters use it, this and that? And since I was one of the first, I was the biggest heavyweight to fight in Brazil at 280 pounds, former bodybuilder, I have the credibility. So I say, hey, we want to get somebody in and find out. Well, I can't really say too much,
right?
But I could just say this. A lot of the big names are on it. And my friend did that one, Bigger, Stronger, Faster. All our superheroes are all juiced up. They're not real superheroes, you know.
Quick question, Hammer. But the reason why it's there, though, is because a lot of dudes are on it, and there's already a standard of, like, to compete professionally. So you kind of have to take it if you want to get that edge, right, to overdo the dudes that are already macking it right now, nasty style, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, this is what I tell people. Remember, get educated. You got to remember, you still got to have talent. On top of this, you can't just go in there, I'm going to do something, I'm going to come in with 22-inch arms, and I'm going to beat the world record, and I'm going to break all these world records. No, you got to have talent.
Yeah, couches and trophies don't mix.
Exactly, man. Hey, man, I'm taking this, and I'm taking that, and my protein. All the protein shit, that's all. Half of those guys don't even take that shit.
Puro pedo, homie.
Metrics, muscle milk. Come on, brother. You're putting the D-ball inside your muscle energy drink and your protein drinks. That's the shit that works.
Come on, bro. I've been drinking that Joe Weider juice for years.
This is an old saggy-ass man, huh? But each pitcher is all buff and shit.
I know, man. You always see like these douchebags, man.
I'm just going to walk around like that now.
You always see these douchebags taking a photo of their food before they work out. Muscle food,
yeah,
brain food,
and skinless chicken.
Like they show you, like they show these guys on Instagram, man. They show a picture of a waffle with a peanut butter and a banana. Huh. Woo! About to work out. Woo!
Seven berries.
Yeah, he forgot everything but the syringe.
Juice me, dog.
So after you did all that, so when you were done, when you like decided to start acting or start dealing, did you get arrested or you just stopped?
You know what? I did get busted two
times. No way. They got buff undercovers? Yeah, what's up, man?
You know what?
He caught you. Let me spot you.
Some of them are cops. And
he
actually
just showed up like a friend. We befriended your ass. Those 22s. Mine are 18s. Fucking undercovers are good.
Like Lonzo in training day, huh? I got your wish.
So what happened, man? What's up, fool? What's up, chef? I used to know that guy from Dodger Stadium, man.
What's up, big dog?
Oh, shit.
All right.
Running into all these fans, huh, bro?
Yeah, Chef Cholo right there, bro.
Oh, yeah?
He used to work at Dodger Stadium with me, and then he started Jose. He started, like, he went to that renowned chef school in San Francisco. And now he cooks everything out of a sock. Nah. We call him Chef Cholo.
Souffle with chanclas, dog.
Yeah, man.
I don't know how tasty that food would be, man. It's not grandma's home cooking.
You should see him tenderize the meat, man. He's stabbing it. So the undercover buff guy walked up to you?
No. He gave you a raw deal. Yeah, there you go, bro. These guys, what they do was I was crossing the border of Tijuana. That's when you get in trouble. So you have anything to declare? I just bought some vitamins, some antibiotics. You know, that was a big thing when you go to Tijuana. Antibiotics and all this other stuff that you can't get over here without a prescription. So that was the thing. And then next thing they go, okay, you need to go to secondary inspection. I was like, well, what did I do wrong? What's wrong?
And you're sitting all buff in the car.
Right now, I'm about 17. I have a little small scar in the arm. I used to be 22s.
What about that?
60-inch chest. Right now, I'm 60-inch chest.
You used to be 60-inch chest?
Damn.
59-inch chest. I mean, literally, I could put a beer mug on it. That's how big my chest was.
Damn.
And a 22-inch, I was the first, one of the biggest Mexican with the biggest, you know, everything in my legs.
Oh, they call you the Mexican Debo.
Yeah, exactly. You know who gave me that?
Who?
Nick Cannon. And before that, a couple other guys. It's funny because I worked with Debo. I did that movie Lean Like a Cholo, and me and him were sidekicks. And he's like, hey, bro. And then he goes, and he I could tell he was a little hating. Hey, bro. I used to be big like you, bro, but I just cut back a little bit.
And you go, you got something for this big ass foot?
Yo, mad dog, yo, big dog, man. Check out this big ass tool, man. It took a life of its own.
Yeah, I got a peg.
Didn't you walk up to Devo for a picture? He said
at,
no.
At LAX, I don't even go up to celebrities sometimes, you know. And I'm like, hey, what up, Devo? Can I get an autograph? He's like, no.
Fucking give me your bike, fool.
I was like, dude, this fool. I'm gonna treat that fool like Robin Harris, huh? You got all that money now, Debo. Still can't get rid of that ugliness.
He just got in trouble for fraud. He was doing real estate fraud.
Thank God we didn't get a picture together, bro. I don't want to be associated with criminals. That's what I'm saying, dog.
Boy, in Arizona, because I saw that fool hanging out with Chinese people.
Yeah, and I seen that fool, dog, and then he walks into the elevator with that big old dinosaur foot. I was like, man, I'm glad I didn't get a picture with this fool.
I'm just surprised that he would be that way.
He was selling real estate.
Mr. Christian guy and always nice. He goes, you know, I see him on TBN.
That's how they hook you, dog. That Christian shit. That tambourine right there, dog. And that song.
Shit. The tambourine. You know what? I'm a Christian, bro, and I tell everybody, man, the actions speak louder than words, bro. You know, be an example. I don't go out there and preach and this and that. I've seen too many of those guys, you know. Like, I hate to say, when you're in prison, everybody becomes a Christian.
Swindlers.
You know, if you don't have nothing else, let me go here and get some free time, and let me go. And that's the, you know, that's part of the reason why they get into all that. But anyways, yeah, that was, it was so crazy that I worked with them, and then another time. But he's Debo from Friday, you know. And then they say, "Oh, Mariano, you're the Debo Mexican. You know, you're the Mexican version of Debo. But, you know, you're actually more tougher because you're a former fighter, bodybuilder. And but I don't know, Debo like that.
You a healthy looking Debo, man.
I eat my Wheaties, man.
So when they got you, they pull you to the side. What happened, man? You started flexing.
And what year was this, dude, when you got this twisted
is,
right
this
there?
This is back in the 80s.
Oh, 80s. So this is right when it was U.S. Border and Customs, before it was Department of Homeland Security.
Yes. And what happened was, hey, here's the little thing. The pharmacies will rat you out because they get $300 for every person they report to the border.
The ones in TJ will rat you out? They
get up what they call finder's
fee.
Hey, man, this guy, he's a red shirt. He's driving a blue Toyota Camry. He's bringing about $2,000 worth of stuff. Yeah, exactly. So anyways, some of that. And, of course, me, I started getting greedy. I was going to Tijuana every weekend.
That's what happens when you get greedy, hot dog.
I mean, I was making $2,000 to $3,000. Back then, that's a lot of money.
Hell yeah, fool.
A week, bro.
$300,000?
It's a mean little knot right there.
Even some of the guys that were selling the regular drugs, shit, this is a better business right here. Everybody wants to be big. Everybody wants to be in shape. So that was my thing. You know? And like I said, it doesn't last. And I have a couple friends that are cops in Mariano. Your number will come up sooner or later. So just be careful. And you know what? You don't want them to say, oh, yeah, he's been doing this for years. So anyways, I got in trouble. They took my stuff away. They gave me a $1,000 fine, and I didn't pay it within 1 month, so it became $5,000 fine. And the second time they do give you jail time, probably a couple months. Third time, they probably give you about 5 years, depending how much you have. You know, I had supposedly, you know, about $3,000, but they said the value was $8,000. So they always value it up so they can.
Yeah, I love that. I love that word you use, supposedly. <That's awesome. laughs> Depends.
Exactly. Oh, it looks like he's got $5,000 a seat here. And those guys take it. The border guys, the cop guys.
Oh, they use that shit,
oh, shit, yeah, bro. I got in trouble here, and it was like a stairway for horses. And they go, and the cop, oh, what's this stuff, man? Oh, I know. This is the equipoise, man. I go, how did the cop know all this shit, bro? And he's all buff himself. So, anyways, they took it away from me, and I never got it back. They said, oh, this is evidence. And I had like 10 bottles of equipoise in this.
You're on to something right there, dog. We need to start testing cops with steroids.
Yeah, start testing all these cops that are beating up innocent victims.
Huh.
You know, you'd be surprised, man. I'm just telling you, you know, Mr. Olympia was a cop. Ronnie Coleman.
Yes.
He was 8-time Mr. Olympia. He was a cop in Texas. So, I mean, like I said, you got something going on there. I mean, now doctors are getting tested now, right? They want to pass that law for that. But in the end, it wasn't worth it. Yeah, I made money. Now it's like it's not even worth it. Too much bullshit. Anyways, you know, I have a regular life. I work as an actor. I do stunts. I do it all. I got two video games after me. I'm in Saints Row. I play Oleg. MMA Supremacy. I go by Big Dog. I'm an
Big Dog.
Big Dog. The real Big Dog. Boom!
El primero, el mero mero. Not all the little chihuahuas, man. I'm the official Big Dog. You know, I don't want to take that name away from all the other big dogs. You know?
But I don't even eat dog food.
Nah, those are big dogs. They ain't big dogs, bro.
Yeah, huh?
They're little paws.
Uh-huh. They're pugs.
My ex-wife used to get, why do you call yourself perro? No, it is perro. Why she used to get mad because I call myself Big Dog. Oh, that's just that's my character name. That was my fighting name, you know? Doesn't mean that I'm a dog. So she used to get mad, you know? She's Salvadorian. But like, ¿qué te pones perro? No, eres un perro. Eres más mejor que un perro. Blah, 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 blah. All right, whatever. I go, this perro's making money now.
So you used to bodyguard people? Was that after, during all this, or afterwards?
I was hustling, bouncing, you know. The
bodyguard? You used to bodyguard for the big stars?
I bodyguarded my biggest names a couple of times. I bodyguarded Angelina Jolie one time for a special event. I bodyguarded J-Lo for the Latin Grammys.
J-Lo?
I bodyguarded P. Diddy, and I worked with Fernando Vargas. I was his bodyguard about four or five times.
How does a boxer need a bodyguard?
He was featherweight.
When you don't want to get in a street fight and you're making $1 million a fight, half a million, you get a bodyguard.
They shoot him away.
Your fist is your money. This is your money. When I was a fighter, you mess up your fist, you mess up your legs, you just lost it. You're done. You know, so I worked with Fernando probably like four or five times, and through him, I met Jenny Rivera. I bodyguarded her a couple times, so I knew Jenny Lupillo. I bodyguarded him at the Pico Rivera Sports Arena.
Oh, hell yeah.
The whole family. Actually, they had a couple other guys, but I was one of their main guys. And Lupillo actually knows martial arts. He knows kickboxing because he trained at my old boxing gym in Long Beach. So that was my thing in bodyguarding. I mean, I got so much stuff going. You could make, you know, 10 movies.
This was like Kevin Costner over here, dog.
I used to be a bodyguard for guys that you don't want to know.
Yeah.
You're like being bodyguard for roughnecks, like people you can't even mention, huh?
I don't know their names, but I did accidentally, and I quit bodyguarding them. I was working with some guys from the Colombian Cali cartel. And I didn't even know that they owned the Salsa Club in Huntington Park. And I was doing it for a couple of weeks. Like, these guys they give me good tips. I mean, $100 tips, bro. They're open up their wallets. Everything's $100 bills, like 3 inches thick. And I was just lunch money or whatever. I don't know what it was, but I'd get $100 tips here and there.
That was hammer money.
And I said, no more. And when I found out, you know, it's funny. It's not funny, but when I found out, I said, I quit. I quit, man. And the next month, I see him on the news.
No manches, dude.
They were on the news. I was like, fuck, dude. Like, God was telling me, Mariano, stop. These guys, you don't know who you're working with. And, you know, they're cool guys, man. They, like, didn't even look like mafiosos. But, hey, bro, the ones that don't look, those are the ones that are the hitters, man. Not the ones that talk all the shit. I've been on to the cartel. Those guys are just wannabes. Usually the guys that are cool and quiet, those are the ones that are the real deal. So I'm just glad I left that business. And you know, when you're in Hollywood, you're an actor, a struggling actor. What do men do? Become bouncers that work at restaurants, women restaurants, tips. You know, they call it the struggling actor for a reason. You're always hustling.
Little odd jobs and shit.
I did a lot of odd jobs. I was a dog walker. I did some dog walking stuff.
Big dog. Big dog walker.
Big dog's dog walking.
Come over here. I'll walk your dog. You'll be official.
That's kind of the stuff you do in Hollywood, like dog walker, man. I used to sell raffles to no raffle.
I do the star tours, the Hollywood star tours.
It's so much, you know, jobs out there. You got to find out, you know, you can't depend on the next job. You know, when I'm at work, I'm getting unemployment. I go, hey, man, let me go work this sucker out. I collect unemployment in North Carolina. And, you know, you gotta do the hustle, man, or else, you know, you're not going to feed the family.
You get lost in the mix.
Yeah.
So you did that. You were competing, went to the Army, foster homes, and then, you know, you're doing this bodyguard stuff. And then that's when you started breaking into acting?
Or MMA fighting?
You know what's so funny? It all came. It's weird. I don't know how I did all this, and not to brag, I was really good at everything I did. Really good. I mean, I was in a magazine, Black Belt magazine, as the top 100 most dangerous fighters, and I only fought for 4 years. I mean, I was there with Bob Sapp, Frank Shamrock, Tito Ortiz, Randy Couture. I mean, all these legends. And I'm here I am, Mariano Big Dog. And I was like, wow. And I did it just because the opportunity was there, and I was crazy. I was looking crazy. I mean, look, I got scars right here on my head.
This 4 years of fury.
This guy's head looks like a piggy bank. After they put it back together.
I got four staples right there on my head.
What was that from, dog?
We were fighting in the cage, playing around, and actually I hit the corner of the cage that wasn't protected. There was no padding on it, and I went to the emergency in Whittier. We were doing some training in Whittier, uptown Whittier, and I was like, oh, shit, I got a headache. And I'm like, oh, Mariano, don't look at it. Don't look at it. I know I would have passed out. And so, you know, I got staples. And that same night, I go out to a stupid techno party, and I'm partying with staples on my head.
This fool said a stupid techno party. Bam, 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 bam. The fuck? Oh, shit, a staple, dog. You're the hammer, dog.
So you fought in Brazil. You were like
world championship.
Those are fast. You have a high leg kick, man, from your photos.
Yeah, I was kicking about 7 feet.
Damn!
That's my roundhouse kick.
You were like a size 12, man.
My straight axe kick. That's basically the front kick that goes up. That your hips go up long, higher. So, and then you got the side kick. That's, you know, usually guys with long, we want to do the side kick, the roundhouse. And like I said, I had a good roundhouse where I could kick almost 7 feet. I mean, literally.
And fast, right?
Like, fast. Yeah, I was fast. I trained with the Thai guys, the Cambodians. You know, I trained with the Koban and Saxon Jinjero. Those guys are the best with Thailand. And they were my trainers for a couple of years. Boss Rutan trained me everywhere. You know, it's just, like I said, I got to train with the best before they became famous. Now everybody's forget it.
Before it got all flooded and popular? So that you're doing it when it was kind of like not even cool, or like before it was all blown up?
Yes. Oh, man, this is bloody. I mean, that was doing it, not to brag. You can see the pictures and the videos of me fighting. I got two videos on YouTube. And bare knuckles, no rules.
I saw, man. Like, damn, I saw one fight. We were watching it in a car. That when you were fighting some guy in a ring, man, and you were taking some elbows, man, like nonstop.
Yeah,
you can't even do elbows no more.
And they allowed elbows and headbutting.
Yeah.
And toe stomping. And I mean, literally.
Damn,
toe stomping.
Yeah, toe stomping. That's when you stomp and you literally stomp the toes and hopefully, but it's annoying more than painful for a fighter because we're trained for that.
And that's just what? Just to open somebody up to hit them?
Yeah.
What happened, dog? He toe stomped me.
Fuck. I had to kill him, bro. He fucked up my ingrown toenail.
What were you guys doing last night? I was toe stomping.
Man, this fool fucked up my callos, bro. He had to die.
I got some bad nails because of them. I got that yellow fungus thing on my, you know, the one doesn't go away.
You go to Mexico for the medicine.
They gave me all these ancient oils and put this on there, and cat's claw and
cat's claw.
Some kind of holy oil.
Jarabe.
All kinds of stuff.
Uña de gato. They got it over there, bro, on the other side of the Grand Central Market.
Oh, yeah, they got all that stuff over here. I got to give me some of that.
My big toe looks like a pupusa, dog.
Big toe looks like a little Niño de la Tierra.
The potato bug?
Yeah. Oh, man, those things are ugly. It's embarrassing.
Chempo,
man,
dog.
I try to cut it and make it look nice. It's like 2 inches thick.
You fought in Brazil?
I fought in Balotelo. In 99, 2000, Francisco Bueno, he was a world champion, 200 fights, and it went to 4 minutes and something. That was when each round was 10 minutes long.
Damn. So
they were 10 minutes long.
That's mad endurance right there. If you don't got it, you're done, huh?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. That's
how you going to fight for 10 minutes,
I was the big bodybuilder guy, and I started gassing up. That's the problem when you got muscle. You start gassing up. I mean, that's why Bob Sapp, you see him getting sloppy after the second round. You know, they offered me to fight him. I was like, all right, he's a badass. You know, Bob Sapp, K1, 6'5", 330 pounds. And so anyways, I fought, you know, three fights, Stefanos in Jamaica, K1. I got offered a K1 fight. I went to Korea, but I didn't fight because I got hurt. And I was really mad. I really wanted to fight Jerome LeBanner. But I'm kind of glad the fight didn't go through because he's a badass, and I don't think I was ready for him. And I've never been knocked out as a fighter. That's a crazy thing. Never been knocked out. And I was fighting Samoans. I mean, these guys were monsters. But I hit just hard. You know what I mean? But I was quick for my head. I was, you know, like I said, I quit. Mariano Páez
just
trained with me. I trained with LA Boxing back when it was famous, and Sugar Shane Mosley was there. Oscar had some fighters there. It was a place to go to in downtown LA.
Sugar Shane from Pomona, huh?
Yeah.
You fought Duran?
I went to go fight for Roberto Duran in Panama in 98, 99. It was an underground fight.
It was like that fight from Clint Eastwood, Everywhere Way But Loose, where people just parked their trucks. Like, it was illegal fights? You did illegal fights too, like that?
Yeah.
Underground fights?
Yeah.
So just like Kimbo Slice?
They were not, no. It's similar to that, but they were not licensed. That was the main thing. What I mean by underground, they were not licensed by the State Athletic Commission. So.
Nobody was tested.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody was weighed.
Yeah, exactly. So
Nobody saw him training.
Exactly.
You don't know his record. You don't know where he came from.
He just fought whoever, exactly.
Like blood sport?
Exactly. You know, it was they had rules. You know, of course, they had a referee there, and okay, it's going to be this, you know, three rounds,
fights.
5 minute rounds, 10 minute rounds back then, you know, but
open fist?
Open fist, and then they use pancration style, which is close, it's open palms, and you can strike to the head with the palms, and you can use your knees and your elbows. Like I said, I was fighting when there was no gloves. You didn't have to, but.
Yeah, but then, like, you were already like a big dude, right? You were juiced up?
Yeah, I was juiced
you
up. I was in Terminator mode. I was like.
Damn, you were fucking fools up, but check out Big Bird over here, right? Anyways. That's a big fanny pack. That's a fanny pack. It's the other than a fanny.
Man, that's a big one. I used to carry those, man. But then the guy's like, Mariano, you don't look as tough with that thing on you, man.
So Mariano, you don't break my bottle.
No, but I put all my steroids in there, my money in there, you know.
So, man, what is that like? Like, oh, man, open fist fight, man? Like, he didn't do nothing to you? Like, take your drink or hit on your old lady?
It was kind of hard.
You guys going to be pumped up. How do you get juiced up for a...
I just remember when
get
I was
ready,
a kid.
Like, what do you tell yourself? Remember, hey, I'm going to hit you that, or what do you think?
I just tell my... I put it in my mind, okay? When my stepfather...
It's like acting, right? You got to put it...
You got to see something that makes you angry. It's like acting. Exactly.
Yeah.
What made me angry? When my stepfather beat the shit out of me, and I couldn't hit him back because I was 8 years old, and that anger... It motivated me for 20 years, bro. And finally, I had the doctor goes, Mario, you gotta relax and let that go because it's messing up with your nervous system. And I was tough. I didn't give a shit, but I was motivated. But and then you had to be careful, you know what I mean? Because it's like I didn't care about people's feelings. But yeah, it was nonstop, bro. I mean, like I said, not to brag, I never got knocked out, but I didn't go past the first round. And that was because of my cardio. You know, I hit hard and I was fast. Oh, Mariano hits hard. You know, Stefanos, he's a Greek champion. I fought him in Jamaica. We were fighting on the beach. And you know who was performing there?
On the beach of sand, or there was a...
On the beach. Oh. So we had the cage right there.
Yeah.
On the beach, on the sand, Montego Bay, Jamaica. We were fighting. I was fighting Stefanos. He's a Greek champion. And we were fighting. I didn't even know until later on. We were fighting for these Russian mob people. They paid almost $1 million for this fight, entertainment party.
Damn.
And KISS was performing live, and that's where I met Gene Simmons.
Damn.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is incredible. I mean, Gene was taller than me, but I don't know if he had his boots on.
I really like your fight, bro.
That was funny, man. He walked up to Gene Simmons and said, hey, Gene Simmons, remember I met you at the underground fight with a Russian mob? I don't remember. I don't know.
It's not even Gene Simmons, huh? It's an old veterana.
I don't know, man. I don't remember.
Gina Simmons, bro.
I don't know, man.
You're right. He'd probably say that because it was underground.
He got paid all cash. You know, it's funny, like, how much these people with a lot of money, like these Russian guys and the Kali who hired to be for bodyguard. Sometimes I go on YouTube or on Instagram, actually. I look up my favorite actresses or whether they're famous actresses from Mexico or America. There's Egyptians that pay a lot of money, man, to have them just show up for the party, even though they don't know them, like a special appearance. A lot of money for that. I'm pretty sure they, like, if a guy, like a Russian guy, wants to throw a big party after a fight, they want to invite real boxers, I'm pretty sure they call you. Hey, man, we want to hang out? Make my party look awesome?
Bring your fanny pack.
Yeah, man, just bring the hammer.
I'm here.
Hammer time. That's funny. You're right. A lot. I got three times invited like that. And you're right. They want to get somebody famous, someone badass. Say, hey, come to my party and hang out. Yeah, they'll probably pay me, you know, a couple $1,000. You know, it's not a lot, but they pay my expenses and everything just to come and hang out. And my last fight was here in L.A. at a club called Soho. I don't know if you remember that club, nightclub. It used to go owned by Prince. Prince used to own the nightclub in downtown. So that was my last fight, and that was in 2002. And I just said, you know what, I'm done with this now. I do stunts right now. So I just finished doing a stunt part for, I was standing for Batista.
Batista in that movie,
Galaxy.
That movie, The Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, Batista, you were his stunt double.
I was a stand-in. So he's about 60 pounds, 70 pounds bigger than me. He's big, and he's about 1 foot taller than me. He's about 6'5", 6'6". I'm about almost 6'2". A little 2 inches short of 6'2". Yeah, but he was in there, and that was his big break. Because if you look at the credits, he's like number 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But that was his breakdown movie.
Big man. Movie, man.
Yeah, yeah, it did really good, and he's a personal friend of mine, man. Him. And,
you ever fought him?
No, he actually, funny, he asked me for some advice because he tried to do MMA, and he didn't do too well.
It's different, like, though. I mean, you ain't slamming chairs on somebody's back, though. These motherfuckers actually hitting you.
Yes.
Hard.
That's why I look at what was the other big guy from Brock Lesnar. He did good because he had wrestling, real wrestling.
That's experience. His background, right?
Oh, yeah, that's his background. He did, see, there's fake wrestling and college wrestling. He did college wrestling. He did Greco-Roman. So that was the thing. That was his advantage. And plus, I think he did some smoker fights, which are basically amateur fights. And then that was his thing, you know.
It's even like that dude, Guy Tony, James Tony, he went into MMA and got kind of rocked.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. It's funny. I remember my friend Bodyguard's name, Tony. And, he was...
He'll be kicking in everything.
He tapped out. I quit.
Man, I still can't get over them illegal fights. I thought it was just in the movies, bro.
Think like, about it, dude. They're using it's like, you know, using people as dog, like dog fights and shit. You're just going there looking at
man,
them.
Right?
One's going like to win, dude.
It's like
one's
a dog fight. It gets crazy. Like a lot of bets are made, right?
Yeah.
Because, people get hurt.
Do these people try to own a fighter like they do in the movies? Where like a fighter, he belongs to that promoter, even in underground fights or just independent?
Here's the thing, is I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes they want you to lose the fight on purpose, and they'll put money on you. Hey, Mariano, you know, we want you to lose this fight. We're going to give you an extra $2,000, $3,000.
But I never get knocked out, Holmes.
Yeah.
Just curl up in a ball right there. Don't move.
You got to pretend like you're getting knocked out.
Hey, but that's the thing, though, as far as like, all right, people get hurt when it's like, you know, regulated competing and all that shit, right? So you're going over there competing for these Russian fools, for these other people, right? And, you know, there's no, like, what is there, paramedics there? But somebody gets fucked up, you're going to be not right for the rest of your life, huh?
Possibly
die, right? And then it doesn't matter. You got paid, you signed away your life, you're done, right? You're just a piece of meat in the end, right? Unless you win and triumph, then you get paid and you go on.
Yeah. And, you know, you're right. This is for real. I didn't even know this. I'm crazy, but I was stupid. Because I was like, okay, yes, I'm going to make, you know, $5,000. That's what I got to fight Francisco Bueno. But if I would have died or something would have happened over there and I got hurt or I was in a heart attack or something, I'd be screwed.
In another country far away from the U.S.
And Brazil. I mean, Brazil, it's a third world country. It's kind of scary out there. You watch that movie, City of God?
Yeah.
It's crazy, kinda like dog. That.
But we were in the ghetto parts of Brazil called Recife is nice, but we were by Sao Paulo. Sao Paulo, parts of that area are really scary. You know what I mean? And Francisco Bueno, only because he's well-known over there, and he's Brazilian, and he's a famous fighter. You know, that's the only reason I fought him. And like I said, in Jamaica, that's another thing over there in Jamaica. You sign a waiver that I don't even know what I was signing, but I know I got, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 for the fight, win, lose, or draw. Now, if I win, I get a bonus, like $3,000, $2,000. But I'm just glad. I fought at the time when it was barely getting a peak, getting famous, and Dana White took it over, and there was all that junk. Now, Cain Velasquez is the UFC champion. Now, he's the first UFC guy, Mexican. I'm the first non-UFC guy to fight in Brazil for Valatudo. So I'm the first Mexican to fight in that, but I never fought in the UFC. But I probably would have made it in the UFC because I was pretty good. You know, I wasn't great, but I was pretty good. But now everybody's good now. All these guys. Kane was a collegiate wrestler. That's why he's a champion. And his stand-up is all right, but he's improved. And look, first Latino ever.
He's a brown pride.
Brown pride.
Tattooed on his chest. Huh?
Kane Velasquez.
Cain. Isn't that his name?
Cain. Yeah, it was a lot of us. What? All right. We got to... Do you have anything you want to promote? Like, you want to be on? You're going to be on next? We could find you. And I know you're on Instagram yet?
Yes, I'm on Instagram. I'm Mexican Big Dog.
Mexican Big Dog on Instagram, people.
And basically, like the homie said in the comedy show, just Google me, Holmes.
Just Google, man. Google big ass Mexican MMA. And if this guy doesn't show up, we're going to knock out the next guy.
And, I actually just did a movie with Nick Cannon called School Dance, and I played Junior.
Oh, okay.
Wilmer Valderrama is my brother in the movie. George Lopez is my dad. I never got to meet him in the movie, though.
I never seen the hammer.
Life imitates art.
I was like, hey, I didn't get to meet my dad, man. That's kind of messed up. But he did a cameo. He was just in and out. And Wilmer, we hanged out for a while. We actually did 4 or 5 days of filming. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I'm co-starring on that one. Basically, I'm a thug in there. And the girl's coughing all over me, killing me with the cough.
Stop it.
That's Ebola, dog.
I got right. That's exactly. That's what I said. I said, oh, man, you're going to give me Ebola. What's up with that, man? I got rights. So that was my thing. But I added that on there. I don't know if they're going to add that scene. But the director liked it. She said, oh, that was cool, man. You improv'd it good. That's my publicist, Cindy Marquez. She's really incredible.
Let's get you noticed.
Yes. Cindy Marquez, LC1 Publicity. I don't even know her company name.
Yeah, man. Anybody want to hire Mariano Mendoza to talk at your school about the bad uses of drugs and staying focused, keep your body in shape? You know, one thing I noted when we were talking on the phone, man, you said that, you know, as you get older, man, your spine shrinks and the way you stand makes a lot of difference. And let me tell you, man. I've been standing like this crouching forever because that's my Nintendo crouching position. But I always try to stand straight, but I always forget, man, about spinal cord injuries and all that. Do you do personal training for people? Or you give them advice about nutrition?
I give them advice. And like I said, another great thing that I had, I got to work with Charles Glass, who is the trainer of trainers. He's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of training bodybuilders. He trained all the top bodybuilders, Flex Wheeler, Chris Cormier, Melvin Anthony, Dexter, top Mr. Olympia bodybuilders, and I worked with him for a while. I got a lot of information from him. We used to do seminars in Mexico, and I competed in Mexico in bodybuilding. I won third place in Mr. Mexico International. This is back in the 80s.
Mr. Mexico,
and I competed in my town of Guanajuato.
Guanajuato?
León, Guanajuato.
Las momias de Guanajuato.
And also get some shoes, too.
So you ever met, like, any you ever met, like, Blue Demon, Miss Máscara, Santos?
I never met them, but I've worked with the other two brothers. They do this show called Lucha Baboon.
Oh, Lucha Baboon.
Here in L.A., right?
Yeah.
I've seen the posters and stuff.
Yeah, I worked with the two chickens. They got two brothers, and they're dressed like chickens. Wah, bah, 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 bah. You got to go see his comedy, Lucha Libre, and Burlesque Dancing.
Yeah, it seemed like they had a chick, a wrestler.
Lucha Baboon.
I was tripping out. What the fuck? You go over there and somebody gives you shrooms and you just laugh all night or what?
So you're on Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah, at Mexican Big Dog.
Mexican Big Dog Twitter.
Or Mariano
Big Dog
Mendoza.
With a D-A-W-G? Or?
Yes, D-A-W-G.
D-A-Dog, not dog. Hey, Big Dog.
Not like Snoop Double Dog, D-O-G-G.
Yeah, man.
Big
so
dog.
So people, and this week, man, I'll be in Pasadena at the Ice House. But guess what? It's all sold out. It's sold out, man. We even added a 6 p.m. show on Saturday. It's sold out. So that's it, man. Ice House sold out. In November, I'll be at Tommy T's in Pleasanton, California. Also, I'll be at Barbara Worth Resort in El Centro, Hauteville, California. Fort Myers, Florida, Off the Hook Comedy Club in November. Go to felipesworld.com for all the details and shows. And October 30 in Los Angeles, I'll be on the All Things Comedy Podcast live at Nerd Melt at Meltdown Comics with Bill Burr, Al Madrigal, Dean Del Rey, John Heffron, Jackie Cashian. It costs $10 to get in. I won't be doing no stand-up comedy. It'll just be a guest appearance on All Things Comedy. And if you guys see Mariano walking down the streets, Doug, nah.
Tell him to go like this.
Let me show you them 17-inch python, brother.
Right there where you put those big old logs.
Man, you've been a great guest, bro. We'd love to have you back again. If you ever have anything to promote, a movie or something. Or, man, maybe you and I could be in the movie, bro. We could be the Molache brothers, bro.
Hammer and Braveheart, dog.
Hammer and Braveheart, eh?
I could picture you like a Pancho Villa.
Hell yeah, bro. Pancho Villa. We could be right here, bro. The one-man gang right here, dog.
You know what? It's funny. You're like the first comedian interviewed me, first comedian I saw. And, you know, I saw you before, and I was like, this is awesome that I got to meet you, brother, and I saw your stuff on YouTube, and congratulations, bro.
Thank you.
And it's just a blessing to be here, to see other Latinos progress in the business. And
yeah, man.
Anything I could do to support, bro, I promote. Instagram, Twitter, I have about 200,000 views on YouTube. I have, quite a few people on Twitter that are following me now because of, you know, the fan base and all that. But it's all about networking.
Networking, right?
Hell yeah. I got two addresses you need to show up and shake people down for me. I've been fucking with my life.
Yeah, a couple of comedians who think they're wrestlers, bro. Weak assholes. Yeah, we got a couple of comedians, bro, that they think they're wrestlers, bro, just because they watch two magazines, bro. Let me tell you, people, I don't know if this is true, man. If you buy the magazines, you buy all the shirts, all the UFW stuff, it doesn't make you a wrestler, bro. It just makes you a collector. Let me tell you, man, because a lot of people say they smoke weed, they buy the magazines, they buy the weed t-shirt. Let me tell you, man, only weed smokers smoke weed. They don't need a magazine.
Yeah, like, we're going to show the cops, dude. Yeah, please, it's us over here with that big smile.
Yeah, Officer Strong Arm.
Officer Strong Arm, that's funny, man.
Yeah, man, so Big Dog. Thank you, Mariano Mendoza.
Hell yeah, the hammer right here.
The hammer right here, bro. Look for him, man, on Eastbound and Out, man. He's the only Mexican on that show.
Right here.
Yeah, man. Eastbound and Down. Eastbound and Down?
Eastbound and Down, yeah.
Always say it's Eastbound and I'm out.
Rodrigo Torres, hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, right here with the hammer and the fool. I'm out.
Give a little George Lopez, bro.
Right here with the George Lopez live with the hammer, El Martillo. Later.
Peace out.